go suck a fat one.
I have an addiction to smut. I'm right-handed, but my ball sack is left-sided. Get the B-Man a double cheeseburger. Take the tip and shut up. Hello, Internet, and welcome to episode 97 of Verbal Graffiti with your host, Brian Glass, a.k.a. the B-Man, the People's Degenerate. Hello, everybody, every fan of Verbal Graffiti. I am here in all my glory with all my gray chest hairs and, yes, gray pubes. I do have some of those, maybe even more than a few. Are you a man? Do you have gray pubes? Some people think that is the same question phrased a different way. Yes, I do. I do have gray pubes, but that is the fullest extent of that topic we will get into in this episode. Before we go further with episode 97, the B-Man, Brian Glass, the People's Degenerate, I would like to take a moment to apologize for episode 96. I was reviewing it, editing all the tapes and the audio, and I just don't feel like I brought the right energy. Before every episode begins, I tell myself mentally, I say, hey, have energy, be animated, pronunciate your words, be excited about the topics you're discussing. And I don't feel like I did that in episode 96. There was too much, it was too monotone. There was some energy, but there was no sprinkles on the cake. It was just cake frosting, but no pizzazz to it. And so this episode, I'm going to try to bring the pizzazz. I'm going to try to bring the disco and funk. And because we live in strange times. Yes, we do. But we also live in exciting, magnificent, magical times. And earlier today, when I was supposed to be working my day job, I was listening. What I've been doing the past week or so is I've been listening to podcasts, like video interviews with porn stars that I am attracted to, that I am drawn to. Now, this is completely for the game, not for the stroking game, but for the entertainment game for Verbal Graffiti. What I am doing is I'm meticulously going through these interviews, and anytime a porn star says something funny, or it's something she'll use like five words, but I can use it out of context in a reel that I'm making. I'm putting a little stamp at the time so that I could cut it out after I illegally downloaded the interview, so that I could put it into one of those reels that I make. And there's this lady, you may know who she is. She's a wonderful human being. She goes by the name Kazumi. She has, her body is all fake. She's got the filled lips. She's Asian, which I love. She's got the big boobies that are, enhanced. And she recently got a BBL, a Brazilian butt lift. Now, this interview was from last year, maybe 2 years ago. So maybe all these enhancements are not new, but they're new to... This is the first time I'm hearing about them. Now, I did not know this about Brazilian butt lifts. When you get a Brazilian butt lift, you cannot sit down for a year. They give you a special pillow that you need to put your rear on every time you take a seat. So fucking Kazumi was doing this interview with Alexis Texas, and she had this black pillow that she had to be seated on, so she was a little bit higher than Alexis Texas. Now, I will say this about Alexis Texas. I've been watching her podcast, so I've gotten a feel for her interview style. Don't love it. The B-Man, I gotta say, Alexis Texas, she's not a porn star. I'll admit it, like I've gotten a few. I've spit my goo out to Alexis every now and then in a pinch, but she's more of an ass babe, and I'm more of a boob babe. That's why I'm more drawn to Kazumi. But her interview, it's very high school senior project assignment interview, where she has a list of questions, and when she's interviewing a lady in the industry who's not very charismatic. It tends to be just that she's reading off these questions, and there's not a lot of back and forth rapport. I think, what's his name? Joe Rogan, yeah, that minion, he changed the game for interviewing, where it has to be a great interviewer is to be a great conversationalist. And what you do, see, in a conversation, a great conversationalist will be able to draw things from you that you didn't even know were being drawn till afterwards. In Alexis, Texas, it's very, here's question A, here's question B, here's question C. But I'm not, who the fuck am I to be talking down to what's her name? Alexis, Texas. I mean, she's a legend of the game, and I have, 45 subscribers, not even here on YouTube. So, you know, I'm not one to be throwing stones at her, and I do appreciate her work in all forms. But Kazumi, wow, this lady, this porn star, actually, I don't even think she's a porn star. I've looked for porn of hers, and I really can't find it. She does, I think, at least in this interview, which was from 2 years ago, but again, I listened to it today, or last couple days. She does primarily OnlyFans, and as we all know, I don't pay for OnlyFans accounts because OnlyFans takes some of that money, and I don't. So they're kind of like an online pimp, and I don't feel right giving money to pimps. So I don't pay for OnlyFans. But she was so charismatic. Kazumi is the sprinkle on the cake. That's how much personality she has. She's a firecracker. She was dressed super hot. So I easily got 15 little clips that I could put in my reels in the future. So thank you very much, Kazumi. But it is very... And then there was this other interview I was listening to. And Alexis, Texas was interviewing Kelly Gunner, who is this bodacious blonde. Think Pamela Anderson at her peak when she was on Baywatch, if you're old enough to remember that show. She kind of got that body, boom, 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 she's blonde, which I'm not a blondie guy, but hey, I'm a fan of Kelly Gunner. I am subscribed to her subreddit. I've glued myself to her plenty of times. But her, man, she does not have... Her personality is not vibrant. She's a former military gal. She was in the Army, Marines, one of those. But that interview wasn't a great one. I didn't get a lot of clips that I could use going forward from her. And it's a little disappointing. You know, sometimes they say you don't want to get to know your heroes or meet them. And Kelly Gunner, a huge fan of her smut, her podcasting interviews, it left me wanting more. It was kind of a starfish missionary. Like, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to complain about it, but, it left me wanting more. And it's a magical world we live in where you can, with podcasting and these long form interviews, and where you don't need to be in the media to have a platform. So I'm getting to hear these long form podcasts with all these smut stars that I goo myself to. And I really get to know who they are as individuals. It's a little, like, I don't know if I like it or not. You know, there is something about the lady, the babe, the starlet behind the screen. Like, I enjoy objectifying her. But when I listen to a podcast of her where she's talking and she is the interviewee, when I go back and watch their smut on nefarious websites and I stream them, it's, you know, it's going to be difficult for me to objectify someone like Kazumi or one of these babes where I listen to an hour-long podcast and I feel, and I don't have a relationship with this gal, this babe, but I certainly know a lot about her history and her past and her morals and what she thinks about the industry and business and current events. And it's a perplexing predicament for me to be in now, because up until, you know, the last few weeks, I've never really listened to a porn star speak other than her fake orgasm on the screen. So, and I know you say, oh, Brian, yeah, B-mail is so hard. Listen to a podcast with a porn star. Such a tough life you have. But it is tedious. Because most of these interviews are fluff. There's absolutely nothing to them. But I'm just listening with the ear just for that one, you know, 3-second clip that I could cut, that I could use in a reel that will make some of you laugh, get those chuckles, you know, those chuckle fuckers. So I do it for the game. I do it for the love. I do it for this project, which is Verbal Graffiti, which I hope you're all enjoying or commiserating every time you watch this. But so, man, whatever you're also wrestling, we'll get to that future. But I do listen to a lot of old wrestlers from the Attitude Era, their podcast. It is strange really getting to know somebody. Not Brock Lesnar does it, but The Undertaker, Steve Austin, all them. But let's keep it going. All right. Here's something I found on Reddit that we can discuss in more detail. Comes from the subreddit Etiquette. I have a lot of etiquette. Coworker lost a family member. Regards. Recently, a coworker emailed to let everybody know that they had lost a family member, but did not want to talk about it at work until further notice. For context, this family member is one that was brought up in conversation semi-regularly, so otherwise one of us might have asked about them and not knowing about the loss. That would have been awkward. My question is, even though the coworker expressed that they didn't want to talk about the loss at work, would it still be appropriate to get them a card and have folks sign it expressing our condolences? I wasn't sure if that would go against the not talking about it request from the coworker, or if this was still appropriate way to express our sympathy. Thanks in advance for your opinions. Well, in advance, you're welcome. First off, I just want to give a round of applause and a tip of my penis to the coworker who lost a family member for getting out ahead of this and letting everyone at the office know, like, hey, shut the fuck up and don't mention my lost family member. I don't want to even talk about it. So just, again, a tip of the penis to you. This is... You know, in the history of capitalism, nobody has ever said, you know what helped me grieve with the loss of a family member? It was that get well soon card that all my coworkers signed and was sent to me shortly thereafter. No, I didn't. There's few things that irk the B-man more than the peer pressure of having to sign a get well or sorry for your loss card, whether it's a physical actual Hallmark card or an email card that gets sent from everybody that can sign. You know, if you're in an office, you know what I'm talking about. Because this is what happens. This is peer pressure to the nth degree. So you have a boss. Our management reaches out, goes, hey, we have a coworker who's out of work today because their spouse died or a family member died. There's a card in the break room. You can sign it if you want to. You don't have to sign it, but it's just there if you want to sign it. But you don't have to sign the get well card. That's bullshit. That you have to sign the card. Because here's what happens to the receiver of the get well card or of the sorry for your loss card. There's two options. There are two things the person who receives that card does. All right. The person who lost a family member, they open the card that they get from work and they do two things. Either one, they skim it over real quick, toss it in the garbage, never to be seen again. Or Or option number two, if that coworker is spiteful, what that coworker will do is they will scrupulously scroll through the card and make a mental check mark of everybody who signed the card, but more importantly, every coworker who did not sign the card. And they'll remember the names of all the coworkers who did not sign the card. And if they're ever in a position of power and you're one of those people who did not sign the get well or sorry for your lost card, your career is fucked. Because that is what happens if you don't sign the get well card soon. Because here's what, it starts off innocently. There's a card, let's just call it a get well card. So it's in the lunchroom, the break room. Hey, sign this card. Somebody, you know, if you're the first one, you can never be the first one to sign a get well card because you don't know how intense the messages are going to get. Personally, I just put my name, B-Man, Brian Glass, BG, that's it. So I'm in the clear. But some coworkers will start writing like a legit paragraph. And I'll be like, Doug, what the fuck? Like, did you go to summer camp when you were a teenager with his wife? Like, well, a full paragraph? What are we doing? It's one card. 20 of us have to sign it. Just put your name, sorry for your loss, and pass it on to the next cubicle. So if everyone's writing like paragraphs and then you just put your name, then you look like an asshole. And heaven forbid, if you decide not to sign the card, automatically that makes you an asshole. But signing the card is so disingenuous, especially let's say the coworker's name is Steve. Like, Steve, your wife died? I didn't even know you had a wife. How can I genuinely sign a sorry for your lost card when I didn't even know you were married? To me, that seems like I'm just lying. I'm not being myself. There's something skeevy about the get well. It's just like, office politics. That's what it is. I despise it. I hate having to play that fake corporate game. I'm not alone, though. I am not alone, right? Like, that card is, you're just signing it to save your own ass. Like, you don't really care. Maybe you care about the coworker, but the card does nothing for the coworker. Like, if Steve was my coworker and his spouse kicked the bucket and just died suddenly, like, I wouldn't sign the card if I was actually friends with Steve. If I was actually friends with the Steve man, what I would do is I'd take him out to my dive bar. I'd buy him a few rounds. We'd do a couple shots of chilled tequila, Jose. I like Jose Cuervo. People shit on Jose Cuervo, but we're doing 3 chilled shots apiece of Jose Cuervo. We're doing 2 PBRs if they have them, or Modelos, and then I take him out and try to get him some strains to make him forget about his ex-spouse that died, that's getting buried tomorrow. That's what you do if you actually care about the person who lost a loved one. But that card's not. It's not helping anybody. It's not, it's going in the trash by the end of the week. All it is, all that card is doing is making it's putting people who don't want to sign the card in an awkward spot. And it's also just giving Hallmark $7.99. Everybody else, it's not helping anybody else who's actually in need of help. I believe the policy should be no card, management, depending on the size of the company, management could send a bouquet of flowers to the family's house and or a gift $100 gift certificate to the nearest rub and tug to the household of the family. If I was management, that's what I would do for a team member that I was in charge of. Also, I mean, let's be honest, right? This is verbal graffiti. Let's be honest. Anytime a coworker has a family member die, I get jealous because that coworker gets bereavement time. When you're a coworker, When the bereavement time, that's a free vacation, right? Like, unless it was your spouse or your, God forbid, your children, like having a family member die is great because you get 3 to 5 days off of work because of bereavement time. That is a free vacation. So I'm jealous when I have a coworker who has somebody kick the bucket that he knows. If we were ranking family members that die so that you can get bereavement time in order from a best to worst, I'll rank it best is an in-law parent, then a grandparent, then an aunt or uncle, then cousins, especially if you're non-white, then siblings, then spouse, and then the very worst would be the children of your own. But bereavement time, like if it's not a spouse or kids, like you're living the dream life for the next week. Good for you. You get 4 or 5 days off, depending on your company policy. Honestly, that would be my message. I wish in a real world, in real non-corporate HR talk, that's what I would write on the get well, sorry for your loss card. It's like, hey, Steve, I don't give a fuck about your family member dying, and I'm mad as fuck that you're getting 3 free days off of work while I'm here. See you next week. Let's go look at some photos. One more thing that needs to be addressed in regards to etiquette while working. There is no crying allowed while on the job, while in the office, while at work, while on the clock. Whether you lost a loved one, a parent, your spouse died, your 4-year-old died of leukemia, whether you fall down and you break your arm, whether you clog the toilet, whether you have a UTI, whether your computer just frazzes and dies, and an IT person's Indian and you can't really the accent, you can't really tell what they're saying, whether you get fired on the spot, whether you get caught jerking off in the bathroom stall, whatever it may be, no crying is allowed while working. We had an intern here at Verbal Graffiti. She started crying because her son died. Her 3-year-old son died, had a heart defect, died in his sleep, came into work. And she called me, like, oh, my son has died. Can I take the day off? I said, no, we got to film. You got to be here at 8 p.m. Get here. So she came and she started crying while I was filming. I stopped the camera like the professional I am. And I told her, get the fuck out of this studio. Get the fuck out of my mom's basement. You are no longer employed at Verbal Graffiti. Thankfully, I didn't pay her anything because she's an intern. And I believe in not paying interns and, getting people to work with you for free. But you cannot be crying while you're on the clock, all right? This is why I have pubes, right, that are gray, because I internalize all that angst and stress, because that's what you do in capitalism, it is capitalist society. That's what you do in corporate America. You just keep it inward, you keep it to yourself, and you get grays sooner than you should. You know, no crying. You cry while on the clock, you cannot come into the office the next day. You better not show your face. And if you do, you better be wearing tinted sunglasses so that we cannot see your eyes. But that's an embarrassment you can't come back from. I know, I'm not offering you a Kleenex. All right, you're crying? Leave. Don't even get your lunch from the break room. Leave and never come back. I don't ever want to see you again. When you cry at the office, you're dead to me. You are dead. I don't want to see your face ever again. You're an embarrassment to yourself and your family and to your ancestors. Good riddance. I don't want to see you ever again. I think that's enough about working. Fuck working. Everyone wants to quit their jobs. Put in your 2 weeks' notice tomorrow. We're out for ourselves in 2025. Don't give in to the man. Let's get into this next one. Not much to read, but it is a photo. A very appealing photo to me. Perked my interest. I'll put it right here as I put all our Reddit posts. Comes from the subreddit, Used Sex Toys. That is right. There is a subreddit for used sex toys for purchase. This is four butt plugs selling. They're all sterilized. There are four of them. And the seller's name, she goes by the name Sexy COVID 2020. Sell date 12/5/2024. I recently checked. They are still available. $30 for all four butt plugs. You know, I could do a cheesy rule of three joke. You know, like, oh, well, during COVID, you know, some of us did A, some of us did B. And then the C would be the crazy one. Oh, yeah, got into butt plugs. I'm not going to do that. Here's the thing. Some of us, because I'm not a hacky comic like that, as I try to clear my throat. Yeah, so, hey, you know, can you really blame her, right? Like, I wasted lockdown. Like, I hardly did any stand-up. I hardly did anything creative during the lockdowns during COVID. Remember those? You should still be angry that our government locked us down. But that's, this is a comedy podcast. We're not going to get serious here. But hey, this girl was exploring her anal cavities during COVID. Good for her. I'm not going to get on her case for it. Now, like, I see these photos, this photo of her four butt plugs. And this is all entirely speculation on my part, on the B-man's part. But it does seem like during COVID was her first foray into butt plug activities. I say that because the butt plugs are different sizes. You have the two, metal, silver. The silver butt plugs are tiny. Those are clearly beginner butt plugs. Let's call them when you go skiing, what is it? The bunny slope? That's the one for beginners. Yeah. So these are the bunny slope butt plugs. Just gently open up the cavity. The black one is the medium, and then once you get to the purple eater butt plug, that's a butt plug for a lady, a babe, or a Chad. If you're a guy and you go that way, that's a guy or a gal who's had had foreign objects in other foreign objects in his or her asshole. I'll admit I have not had a butt plug in my asshole. My asshole is, I have so much hair. Like, I have so much hair in my butt crack. It's the worst. Any lady that goes down there, like, don't even. Like, if you want to go there. But I ain't going to make you go there because it's just nasty down there. But I have had a finger in my ass. I fuck with a finger in my ass. I kind of like the feeling of that, but I've never had a butt plug. I've only been with one babe. One babe had a vibrating butt plug. That was kind of cool. And then I had another babe who had the app called WeVibe, where I'm not sure if it was a butt plug or a vibrator, but like I could turn... I could go on the app and turn her vibrator on. All right, that's another topic. We'll see. But yeah, no butt plug in the B-man's ass in my past, and I don't foresee it in the near future. Hopefully not, but hey, I'm not going to judge you. If you roll that way, you roll that way. And clearly, Sexy COVID 2020, she likes having butt plugs in her butthole. And, I'm a little... aggravated because, like, as the seller of these butt plugs, now again, I'm not a butt plug guy, so like, I don't know the price of butt plugs before this. I did do some research. Just my initial thought when I saw this for sale, I go, well, okay, clearly, Sexy COVID 2020, like, she's moving up in sizes, so there's no, like, she's at a point now where these plugs probably don't do anything for her. They probably just slide right out of her butthole. She's moved on to larger carrot size butt plugs, so no, she doesn't need these teeny ones anymore. So I'm okay with her selling them. And when I see the price, four for $30, that seems like a great deal on the surface. If you're a butt plug novice, which I am, I get four for $30, that's about $7, $8 per butt plug. That seems like a good price. It seems to me that there's nowhere else on the internet where you can get a butt plug for that price, you know, $7 to $8. But then I go on AdamandEve.com to see, like, I'm doing some research. Like, how much does a butt plug actually cost? So I go to the search engine, I put in butt plug, and the most popular butt plug from the Adam and Eve website is $10.99, but you could get it on sale now for $7.14, which is actually less than what Sexy COVID 2020 is selling her butt plugs for, which irritates me, because Sexy 2020, she's trying to get one over on people that don't know the butt plug game like myself, because I see this deal, four for 30, great deal, right? If you don't know any better. But I did a little research and I find out that, well, that's actually, like, you're upselling. Like you're selling your used butt plugs for more than a brand new butt plug found on Adam and Eve, one of the most reputable websites on the internet. So that aggravates me that you're trying to pull one over on us for people who may be trying to get into beginning stage butt plug game. So that aggravates me. It is better. Hey, you know, don't hate the player, hate the game, right? Isn't that what, I don't know, Biggie Smalls or 50 Cent once said, or one of those rappers? But I can't be too aggravated, because I gotta give a tip of my penis to Sexy COVID 2020 for trying to save the environment, right? She could just throw these in the garbage. They'd end up in the ocean. But, you know, she's trying to resell them, make a little bit of profit, and not let this plastic and metal go to waste. So a tip of the penis, Sexy COVID 2020, for trying to save the environment. But shame on you for trying to, you know, make a couple bucks off someone who might not know how much a butt plug cost. Now, we got to move on to the other end of the transaction. The person, the John, the floozy who may be buying these four butt plugs for $30. That is a, you know, where should I go? All right. I had a urologist, a friend of mine is a urologist, who told me that it's almost nearly impossible for guy-girl sex, vaginal sex, to get HIV that way. Like, even if you have unprotected sex, like, if a lady has HIV and a guy has sex with her unprotected, the chances of you getting HIV, very minimal. Chances are you're not going to get it. I don't know the exact percentage, but it's not what the media makes it out to be. Like, really, the only ways for you to get HIV is to have gay sex, is to share needles, blood transfusions. Those are the ways. I think we need to add shared butt plugs as a potential way to get HIV. Now, if you're going to use a sex toy, you know, if you're going to partake, how do I even say this? Okay. If you're a crazy, cheap a person enough where you're going to purchase a sex toy off of the used sex toy subreddit, you deserve whatever STI is coming your way, right? If you use a used pre-owned butt plug, that you can't complain about getting anal gonorrhea, right? Right? Like, you should have to pay for that. All of us who pay our healthcare premiums and paying the Aetna and Blue Cross, that pot of money, part of that money should not go to help you pay to fix your STI. Like when you're using the used sex toy subreddit, that used to be excluded from any healthcare plan. And I'd go further. Let's say this, your bank account and your credit cards should immediately put a permanent freeze on them forever, right? Blocked. You cannot partake in the above board economy. That cannot be allowed. You have to be excommunicated from all of us taxpayers trying to do it right. Just go to Adam and Eve, get a brand new sex toy, one where you actually have to pull it open and it's sterilized. No, I'm not against. With all that said, I'm not against sharing sex toys. My rule when it comes to sharing sex toys is it's okay as long as the toy has not been inserted into the previous owner. So that would eliminate butt plugs and any vibrators that are inserted, vaginal vibrators, any anal beads, ball gags, anything like that. But sex toys that are not inserted, I think it's fair game to share with family and friends and churchgoers of yours, whether it be the Hitachi magic wand, any vibrator that's just touching the clit, chastity belts, whips and chains, things like that, that's not actually going into the orifices of your body. As long as you wipe it down with hand sanitizer, that's fair game. That's fair game. Me, B-Man, no thanks. I will buy all of my sex toys that I need. I will buy them a brand new via the web whatever website. I'm not a secondhand guy. I feel a little queasy buying something from Goodwill secondhand. Now, I know they clean everything there, but I do believe in energy. I really do believe in the transfer of energy. So, yeah, I know those pair of pants that I buy from Goodwill have been cleaned and washed, but I don't know if the previous owner was clean. That guy, I don't know his past. Maybe he has girls locked in his basement, or maybe he was a Jehovah's Witness, or maybe he cried during the last episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I don't want any of that person's energy transferred onto me. That's why I'm willing to pay the premium to know that I was the first person to wear an article of clothing or use a sex toy or a glass that you drink milk from. I'm brand new. The B-Man, I'm brand new. I know I'm a sucker. I know it's not the financially smart way to go about life. But again, I don't want the past person's energy seeping into my soul. I try to protect myself. So, hey, the sexy COVID 2020, big fan of Verbal Graffiti. She's one of our number one fans. So thank you for always being a supporter of us here. Let's continue reading Salesman's Wife by John Lawrence, famous author. We are now on the very top of page 61. We will read two pages together if you are reading along. Stella, Alan whispered. He couldn't say anything more. His throat felt chalky and his mouth hinged open while his eyes bulged fish-like as he stared at her lewd pose. She stepped closer to him and inserted her fingertips into the top of her bikini pants. Hypnotically, she pulled at the elastic waistband and then, with a slight wriggle, she eased the narrow black strip of panties down over her quivering thighs, revealing the small blonde triangle of her soft, curly pubic mound to the young salesman's staring eyes. The panties slipped easily down her legs, and she laughingly stepped out of them and tossed them on the floor. Standing with her legs apart, she flexed her naked pussy toward Alan's fascinated eyes. "Christ, you're beautiful," he muttered,
and Stella walked delightedly around the small room, a slow, sultry walk that was lurid and enticing. She stopped directly in front of Alan, slowly lifted her palms, and began to slide them up and down over her wildly jutting breasts, down along her nipped-in waist and over the satiny contours of her hips. Alan was transfixed, unable to move, and his penis screamed for release. Stella slipped her hand into the curling pussy hair and pushed aside the fleshy, cuntal lips to reveal the pink tip of her already erect clitoris. Alan licked his dry lips and rasped hoarsely. "I want to fuck you. Oh, baby, I want to fuck you. How do you want to fuck me, lover?" she asked tauntingly. "Like this," he groaned and reached out. He grabbed her into his arms and showered hot kisses all over her face, her neck, her throat, as his hands roamed feverishly over the smoothness of her body, warm and soft against him, the musky female odor of her staggering form mingled her heavy perfume to drift up his nostrils and drive him wild with desire. Stella's hands ran expertly up and down his muscular back, tickling and teasing her skin. Slowly, they lowered themselves onto the couch with Alan arched perfectly over her like a lusty stallion. "Ram your cock into me," she moaned as she snaked out her legs on either side of him, then locked them together behind his back and pulled him down between her widespread thighs. She reached out and grasped his lust engorged penis in her hands and began to move it up and down her throbbing wet vaginal slit, lubricating it with her own juices. He mewled with pleasure as the combined pressure of his bloated balls and the palpitating cock began excruciatingly urgent and flexing his hips with savage drive. He shoved his cock into the warm, wet cavern of her open pussy. Go suck a fat one.